so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
I want to preach to you on the subject today, survivor or conqueror. Now, Pastor Cash preached Survivor 101. I want to preach on survivor or conqueror. What are you doing in your Christian walk? Are you just surviving? Are you a conqueror? And we've got to ask that question. And today, as it is Palm Sunday, I want to talk about worship. And I want to talk about your relationship with God. Because how many knows that if you're not a worshiper, you're not blessing God? Amen. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. I showed up at church. No, if you're not worshiping Him, you're not blessing Him. Well, Pastor, I'm here. I'm glad you're here. But if you're not worshiping Him, you're not pleasing Him. All right, go with me to one verse of Scripture for us to jump in. Zechariah chapter 14. That's in the Old Testament. That's found on page 686 if you have a Bible exactly like mine. Zechariah 14 and 17. Zechariah 14 and 17. I mean, didn't your worship team do a phenomenal job? Your band, I'm telling you. Amen. Hallelujah. As you're turning there, let me just encourage you. Next Sunday is the Christian Super Bowl. It's Easter, man. I mean, it's on. And we're having three services to accommodate everybody. 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and 12 o'clock. Let me encourage you that if you're not involved, if you're not already serving somewhere next Sunday, maybe you attend one, serve one. What do you mean? That you attend a service and then another one you serve that service. And well, Pastor, what is that about? See one of the pastors and we'll hook you up with somebody to serve one and attend one. And then let me ask you this. Make sure that you invite somebody. Do you know that 80% of the people will come to church if they're invited by a friend? You may say, well, Pastor, I don't have any friends. Well, you need another class. That class is if you're friendly, you'll make friends. Amen. Some of y'all trying to be too friendly. That's why you ain't got no friends. Come on, y'all going to get that about lunch. Zechariah 14, 17, if you're there, say amen. Amen. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem. Whichever of the families who do not come to Jerusalem, to what? To worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. For those that don't come and worship the King, there will be no rain. I want you to get that in your spirit. Now, for many years as a young minister, you know, when I got saved, man, I was saved. I wasn't saved from the guttermost. How many know what I'm talking about? I mean, I was, but I wasn't. And what I mean by that is I wasn't saved because I had hit rock bottom. I'm not that type of salvation. My salvation is I was riding the wave. My salvation is I had everything that I had ever wanted. I was doing good, but everything that I was achieving, everything that I was acquiring, was still not doing for me what only Jesus could do for me. And there was an emptiness in me that I could not understand. And I did try to fill that emptiness with things that were not of God. And I tried to fill that emptiness with drugs, but I wasn't a drug addict. I tried to fill it with drinking, and I wasn't an alcoholic. I tried to do some other things, some you know, with women and different things. But the reality was nothing would fill that void except for Jesus. And so when I was already, when I came to Jesus, I already played the piano. So when I came to Jesus, I began to worship. And that was my end. That was my, how God ministered to me was through song and through worship and through the anointing of that moving of the Spirit. Now, here's the problem, though. If all that you have is the feeling and all that you have is worship, you have nothing to stand on. Because you can't worship God, or let me rephrase that. You can worship God 24/7, but you don't feel that every day of your life. See, the Pentecostals, let me talk about y'all for a little bit. What do you mean, y'all? I'm one of y'all. But anyway, let me talk about us. The Pentecostals, we love that we can feel what we worship. And I love that too. Man, I love what I feel right now. I feel the presence of the Lord in this place, and I love that feeling. But can I tell you that the feelings will lead you astray? Because sometimes, I don't know about you, but maybe I might wake up and don't feel saved. But I'm saved not because of what I feel, but I'm saved because of what Jesus did on the cross for me. And I'm saved because my sins are washed by the blood of Jesus. I'm saved not because of the way I feel. I'm saved because of the truth of the matter is that Jesus has saved me, Jesus has washed me, and has set me free. So I might not always feel the way that I want to, but if I know the word of God, then I can stand on it. But the problem is that we have taken feeling out of it. We've taken worship out of it, and all we want to do is stand on the word. Now, hear me closely. That is, if all you have is the spirit and the feeling, you become flakes. Don't point at nobody, but you know who I'm talking about. If all you have is the feeling, then you become flaky. And the church world has too many Fruit Loop Christians and cereal Christians. Bunch of fruit, nuts, and flakes. Come on, somebody. However, if all you've got is the word without any spirit, you become puffed up. Well, we don't need all of that. That's not necessary. Taking a bath ain't necessary. But it sure feels good. And it makes other people around you sure appreciate it. Come on, somebody. So you got to learn how to balance the two. That you need the word of God. And I like to put it like this. I've got some dance and I got some shout, but I got some clout with my shout. Is I know the reason why I dance. I know the reason why I shout. It is because Jesus has set me free. And no matter what I'm going through or whatever I might walk through, I know that he's got me because I belong to him. Good preaching, Pastor. Now, with a human body, you look for a pulse and a respiration. All right? Are you breathing and is your heart beating? Number one, is the heart beating? That's what you're looking for. Or is the heart beating? Number two, you ask, not only is the heart beating, but is he or she breathing? That's the first two things you look for life. Now, with regard to the vital signs of the church, I believe that two of the most, maybe not the most, but two of the most important vital signs in a church, the life and breath of the church, is witness and worship. Witness and worship. Or if you want to know if you're alive, are you witnessing and are you worshiping? Amen. Now, witnessing, listen, I'm not here to get in an argument. Don't send me any emails. I don't want to hear it. I'm just telling you me. All right? Me, I'm not your guy that's going to go door to door witnessing. I'm not that guy. I've got enough rejection in my life. I'm not that guy. But I will show, and when any time the opportunity comes, I'm there to get a witness. Amen? Listen, you're not going to win anybody. I'm about to go there right now. You're not going to win a lot of people by standing on the corner telling everybody they're going to hell. You're not going to win a lot of people. You might, but you're not going to win a lot of people. But you will win them if you show them your witness. If they're able to live around you and see that there is life and that there is the characteristics in you that need to be there, that's when you're going to be able to impact people, is when you show them your witness. All right? But the other side of that is worship. Witness is the heartbeat. We must love God enough to love what he loves. and he loves, witness, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall live and not perish. So if we love what he loves, then we've got to love the world. How many knows that sometimes the world is not easy to love? Before you answer, there's sometimes people in the church are not easy to love. Hey, y'all ain't gonna help me, but I'm gonna preach anyway. If a church is not witnessing, and if it's not within a, if it's not witnessing and evangelizing the community, then that church will die in one generation. That's why I'm so glad to look around and see all the old and young and middle aged. I'm middle aged. How about y'all? Old and young and middle aged. Matter of fact, I feel like I'm a little young today. Come on, somebody. Old and middle aged. I love to see the different generations that we have in our church, which tells me that we are a healthy church and that we're going to be here for a while because somebody has been witnessing. Somebody has been telling somebody about Jesus. Somebody has been inviting folks. And thank God. So, because if you don't do that, the only growth you will get is biological growth. By people having babies. And nothing wrong with that. But I would prefer to not only for the couples to procreate, but I want the church to get people saved. Come on. So Jesus gave us the commission to reach the lost. And so therefore it must be our heartbeat. And if our heart is beating, we should be witnessing. And if witnessing is the heartbeat, then the worship is the breath of the church. It is what we breathe in and what we breathe out. It involves breathing in. And when you breathe, it is breathing in and breathing out. And when we worship, it is not just breathing out, but it's breathing in his presence. Hallelujah. Man, I can get into the presence of God when I begin to worship, and my troubles don't disappear, but they fade to the background. Ah, my God, somebody hear me. You know, I know that people that use that, you know, we have, boy, I'm going, Jesus help me, Lord. You know, I said this to my wife the other day. I said, I'm not understanding some of the young people, because I'm not that young, but I've got a 21-year-old daughter, a 25-year-old daughter. And I said, but these young people, they can't take nothing. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, they will crack over any little bit of thing. They can't take no stress. They can't take any pressure. They just crack. And they have to rely on something else to give them some peace and things like that, because they were never taught that life is going to give you some hard knocks. But the Bible said, be of good cheer. Jesus said, I have overcome the world, and the peace that I have, I leave with you. So every millennial that's in this place, let me tell you, you don't have to trip out and wig out every time something happens in your life. Recognize that if you belong to Jesus, he's got you, and I'm going to be all right. So you ain't got to wig out and trip out. Amen? I think part of it comes from everybody gets a trophy. I'm going to leave it alone. We breathe in God's goodness so we can breathe out God's praise. That's why the psalmist David said, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now, when I was young, just got saved, I thought that if you worship, you had to worship like me. You know, I'm demonstrative in my worship, if you haven't noticed. You know, I lift my hands, I kick my feet, I dance. But that's my personality. You know, I struggle with people who can get in, who used to go to the club and drop it like it's hot. And then they come to church and can't even do nothing in church. They just stand there like a big stiffy. Come on, somebody. But baby, I can't drop it like it's hot anymore, but I can still squat like it's warm. So I'm going to give God some praise, and I'm going to give God some glory for what he has done in my life. You see, maybe he didn't do for you what he did for me, and he didn't deliver me out of the gutter, but I was still in the gutter. Are you listening to me? me. He might not have done, but I know what he did for me. I was headed to hell, and one swoop moment, he came down and cleansed my life, and now I am heaven bound, and so I cannot not show forth the praise of him who has brought me out of darkness. My God has been too good to me for me to sit here like a bump on a pickle and not give him praise. I've got to open up my mouth. I've got to lift up my hands. I've got to lift up my head, for my Redeemer draweth nigh. It's embedded into mankind that you're going to worship something. You're going to worship something. You're going to worship something. And most of us worship ourselves. You will worship something. There is not a doubt in my mind. And anthropologists tell us that from the beginning of time, people will worship something. And why don't you worship something that is worth worshiping, which is the King of Kings? So you're going to worship. You know, some people go, well, Pastor, it's just not my personality. I just don't get excited. Really? Let me give you $1,000, see if you get excited. Some of y'all wouldn't even know what. However you worship is the way you need to worship. All right? But I want you to catch this. Good Lord. Point one. He said this. Our text said, those that don't worship the king will receive no rain. No rain. You're not going to get any rain. And when there is no rain, what happens? The ground becomes hard or dusty and dry. And some people don't worship because there is no rain in their life, and they become hard, dusty, and dry. Don't point at nobody, but how many Christians do you know that look like they just came through, come through hell? They just came through the desert. They came through a farm eating persimmons all day, and they're just shriveled up and don't want to do nothing, and they're mean, and they're hard, and they're dry, and there's nothing good about them. Why? Because they don't offer up worship. And there's no rain. And they're hard, or the ground is hard, and the ground is crusty, and the ground is dry. And they're not receiving anything from God. Because he said that if we will not worship him, there is no rain. Now listen, when there is no rain, what used to thrive begins to wither. Man, I can tell when I ain't been in a good worship service. I can tell. You know, I go preach not a lot, but a lot more than most. But I go out and preach at different churches, and sometimes they want to sequester me to the back. And I ask them, why do you want to do that? They go, well, you want to sit back here and wait to come out? I go, no, I need to be in worship. If you expect something to come out of me, then I need something to come in me. And if something is to come in me, then I've got to offer something out of me. And I'm not offering it to you. I'm not offering it to you. Are you? I'm offering it to him. Because if I get anything in me, I want it to come from him. Because if anything else that comes out of me that's not from him, it will do you no good. But if I get from him that which I need, when I begin to minister, you will get what you need, because that which is coming out of me is that which he put in me. So nothing new, just only the remains of what used to be. I don't want what just used to be. I need new, fresh, daily. He said he is my daily bread. Come on, somebody. Too many of our churches and too many of our people are living on what used to be. You go to a church and they talk to you about what used to be. And I thank God for where I came from, but I'm thanking God for where I'm going to. I thank God for where I came from. I thank God for what I'm in. And I thank God for where I'm going. Because I'm headed somewhere, somebody. Listen, are you going to make it to heaven? Yeah, yeah. But you're in survival mode. And in survival mode, at any moment, you could run out and cash it in. God didn't say survive. He said, conquer. You know, and listen, I thank God for my heritage. But I remember that, well, how you doing? Well, bless the Lord. I'm just trying to make it into heaven. One of these days, it's going to be all right. And thank God, you're right, it will be. But thank God, I've realized that it's going to be all right right here. I didn't say everything's going to go my way. I said it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Why? Because I'm walking with Him. And if I'm walking with Him, it's going to be all right. Everything might not go my way. Everything might not just come up pushing up roses and daisies. But it's going to go. It's going to be all right because you can't lose with Him. You can't lose with Jesus. You just keep walking with Him. And you might go through a rough time. But He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they would comfort me. And so I'm just going to walk with Him no matter if I go by troubled waters, I know that He's there. If I go through the calm, I know He's there. If I go in the path, I know He's there. Wherever I may go, I know He's there. Our text tells us that if we don't worship, then don't expect any rain. And Hosea 6:3 says, so let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. His going forth is as certain as the dawn, and He will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain watering the earth. Rain is a symbol of God's gracious power, of God's gracious favor. And rain is vital for survival. Did you hear me? Rain is vital for survival. Maybe the problem, you know, maybe the problem with you is you haven't had a gully washer in a while. How many knows what a gully washer is? If you live in Florida, you ought to know what a gully washer is. A gully washer, when it rains so hard that it just washes out the gullies, that it just flushes everything out. Some of us need a gully washer in our life, and the only way it's going to come is that you must send it up in order for it to come down. Let me ask you this. What if the only rain, and because this is what I'm preaching, the only rain that you get is the praise that you send up? Because point number two is this, if nothing goes up, nothing comes down. If no praise goes up, no rain comes down. Ah, glory to God. Remember the song? What? Yeah, that's it. We're talking about. That's it. When the praise goes up, see, that's what you got to understand. When the praise goes up, His glory comes down. And so maybe you, no glory's come down to your life. Maybe no rain has come down to your life because you haven't been praising. If nothing goes up, worship and praise are synonymous in the fact that they both are meant to honor Christ. Praise, meaning it comes from a Latin word, pretium, which means price or value, and may be defined generally as an ascription of worth or value. Worship is the shipping of worth. When you worship God, you're shipping, you're saying, God, You are worth worshiping. praise may be bestowed upon unworthy objects or for improper motives. But true praise consists of a sincere acknowledgement of a real conviction of worth. I believe that you are worthy of my praise. It's a real sincere acknowledgement, a real conviction that God, you are worth my praise. Glory to God. See, I struggle with Christians who refuse to worship. And I'm going to tell you what gets me even more frustrated is preachers who refuse to worship. Oh, my goodness. Preachers who stand there like this during the worship. Or worse, sit there like this. No, we are called to be worshipers. You see, maybe we just don't know the value or the excess that we have to him. Here's what Job 36:27 says. For he maketh small. Oh, good God. I'm going to need you to go here, Craig. Find the scripture for me. Job chapter 36, verse 27. I forgot all about needing to put this up there, because the rest of the message ain't going to make sense until you put this up there. Job 36 and 27. Job 36 and 27. For he maketh small the drops of water. Ah, they pour down rain according to the vapor thereof. Oh, my God. For he maketh small the drops of water. They pour down rain according to the vapor thereof, which distill as rain from the midst. Which the go back to verse 28. Go to verse 28. For he draws up drops of water. Did you see? He draws up. He draws up drops of water, which distill as rain, which the clouds pour down. They drip upon man abundantly. Ah. Glory to God. Glory to God. For he draws up drops of water which distill as rain from the midst, which the clouds drop down and pour abundantly on man. Ah, indeed, can anyone understand, verse 29, can anyone understand the spreading of clouds, the thunder from his canopy? But here's what I want you to go. If it comes up, it cannot go down. Rain exists because it draws up the drops of water and it pours back down. Your blessing, his glory in your life is in direct relation to your praise, because Zechariah says that for the families who don't worship the king will have no rain. For he maketh small the drops of water. They pour down rain according to the vapor thereof. Well, how do we get the vapors? How do we have them go up? Well, there are 9 ways. And I know you're like, 9, Pastor, what time is it? It's 9:30. I'll be done in 15 minutes. And I got 9 to hit. Y'all don't think I can do it? Yeah, I can do it. Come on, worship team. Come on back up here. Help me. 9 vapors. Are you ready? The first one is hands. Hands. How can I send up vapors unto heaven? Well, the first one is through your hands. You worship God with your hands. Number one, you lift your hands. Ah, you know, that's a universal symbol that I surrender. Listen, you know. You ain't going to do that to your... You're not going to do that to people you don't love. I wish somebody would say, bow down and worship me. I'm like, you fool. It's going to be on. All right, so one is the lifting of your hands. And then Psalms 47:10 says, or 1 says, oh, clap your hands. All you people, shout to God with a voice of triumph. Come on. You know, when somebody says, give the Lord a hand of praise. And I know sometimes we think about it, well, that's just some filler. No, it's not. It's giving God some praise. It's giving God glory. Sometimes we say, lift your hands and give him glory. Because your hands have the ability to offer up vapors unto God. Lift your hands, clap your hands, and then number three, praise him. He says, Psalms 33:3, sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud or with a shout of joy. Come on, come on. Hey! Come on, lift your hand, lift your hands. Hey. Sit down. Sit down a minute. Pray, singing praises. All right? Playing skillfully with a shout. That's three. Are you ready for another one? Then the other three has to deal with your mouth. Your mouth sends up a vapor. Your mouth singing praises. The spirit of praise is a spirit of song. You ever sing a song that has no words? I do it all the time. I don't even know what to say, but God knows what I'm saying, right? Sometimes I just go, hallelujah. Listen, you may find expression in other ways in sacrifice, Leviticus 7:13, or in testimony, Psalm 66:16, or prayer, Colossians 1:3. But it finds its most natural and its fullest utterance in lyrical and musical forms. When God fills your heart with praise, he puts a new song in your mouth. So, hey. Yeah. He put a new song in my mouth. Here's what he said in Psalms 40:3. And he put a new song in my mouth and a song of praise of our God. Ha. All right, here's the second one. Not only singing praises, but then speak his praise. Pastor, I can't sing, but you can talk. You can talk. Psalms 40:10. I have not hidden thy righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of thy faithfulness. I have spoken of thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness, thy truth from the great congregation. Hallelujah. Why don't you turn to somebody and just tell them, God's been good to me. God's been good to me. He saved me. He saved me. Hey. All right, so from the mouth singing praises, speaking his praise, and then Joshua 6:5, and it shall be that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up, every man straightway. Come on, shout! 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 Yeah! Shout! Shout! Let my vapor go up, that his glory may come down. Let the vapor go up, that the glory shall come down. But then let's go to the third section. The third section, I can worship him with my feet. I can send up vapors on my feet. How? By standing. 2 Chronicles 7:5. And the priests stood at their post, and the Levites with the instruments of music to the Lord, which the King David had made, giving praise to the Lord. For his loving kindness is everlasting. Whenever he gave praise by their means, while the priests, the other side blew trumpets, and all of Israel was standing. Come on, stand if you can. Yeah. Listen, let me tell you. If you ever been at a formal wedding, and when the bride comes in, the minister, I've done enough of them, the minister says, will you all please rise? Why? Because behold, the bride is coming down the aisle. Whew. Glory. I know this is a lost art, but when you're out to dinner and a lady leaves or a lady comes back, you stand. Because they're coming. My God, somebody hear me. I want you to know that the glory of God has just walked into the building, and I'm going to stand. Yeah. Then it goes, all right, let me give you a scripture. Then it says, you can also send up vapors by bowing. Psalms 95:6 says, come, let us worship and bow. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today you would hear his voice. Romans 14:11 says, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess. Come on, let's bow before the Lord. Hey. Yeah, you're worthy. Lord, you're worthy. We know that you're worthy. All right, here comes the last one. Here comes the last one. I know some folks don't like this one. But number three is dancing. Ah, dancing. Psalms 47 says, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. And his praise in the congregation of the godly ones. Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the sons of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing. them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praise to him with the timbrel of the lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify. He will beautify the afflicted ones with salvation. Let the godly ones exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praise of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. All right, I need to help some of you. I need to help some of you because some of you are rhythmically challenged. Now, maybe you can't kick your heels up like I do. Maybe Arthur's there. His last name is Ritus. But everybody can do this. Oh, come on, let's just do a little bit right here. Just dance before the Lord. Lord, you've been good to me. Lord, you've been good to me. Lord, if you don't ever do nothing for me else. Oh, you've been good to me. Some of y'all just need to keep it right there. Now the rest of you, some of you that have a little bit more rhythm. Come on, you can say, Lord, you've been so good. Lord, you've been so good. Lord, you've been so good to me. Lord, you've been so good to me. Lord, you've been so good. You've been good to me. Lord, you've been so good to me. What you're doing when you worship God, invisible vapors are going up into the heavenlies. Ha. And they're going to be poured down out on you in abundance. Can I tell you that he takes everything you give and multiplies it back to you? Ah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I give you my word, I won't embarrass you. I give you my word, I'm not going to ask you to come up front. But if you don't know Jesus, I want you to leave here knowing who he is. But if that's you, would you just lift up your hand, wave it at me? And I'll know, I see those hands. God bless you, sis. God bless you. Anybody else in this world? Ha, 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 ha. Oh, come on, everybody pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sin. I need you. I want you to come into my life and take over. Take control. I am in need of salvation. And by your blood, I am made whole today. In the name of Jesus, devil, you have no more right to me because I've been born into the family of God. So take your weapons and take your hands off of my life in the name of Jesus. Come on, give him praise.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.